Welcome to this presentation. I'm going to talk about a very simple way of making phosphorus rock more soluble for plant uptake. I'll give a brief background, state my hypothesis and objectives for this experiment, then look at the methods that we went through in testing the hypothesis, present some results and discussion, and then finally the take-home message. In most parts of this talk is usual, is focused primarily on sub-Saharan Africa, but it's applicable everywhere. In most parts of this area, we have seen that the soils are highly deficient in phosphates. So use of water-soluble phosphorus is very, very critical in these areas. However, most farmers don't use the phosphate fertilizers. The reason being that it's a little bit costly for them to use because the water-soluble phosphorus is imported. So they need foreign exchange to import these phosphate fertilizers. And when it comes, it becomes costly for the farmers to use, if only it comes on time, because the importers will have to look for foreign exchange to import the fertilizers, and then when it comes, by the time it arrives, most of the farmers have already planted. So it becomes difficult for them to get access to the water-soluble fertilizers on time, and also at the right quantities to use. So one option is to use the indigenous phosphate rock. We are recommending that because if you look at the map, you see that almost every corner of Africa, you have some. In most parts of sub-Saharan Africa, there are a lot of phosphate rock deposits. The problem that are not being, why they are not being used is, or why they are not in commercial production, is that the quantities are so small that it's not economically feasible for them to develop an industry to use the phosphate rock and use it by the farmers. Again, some of this phosphate rock contains some impurities that is difficult, it's not economically feasible to take out all the impurities before it is applied. So, if you want to produce the water-soluble phosphates at the countries where the phosphate rock are available, it becomes too much expensive, more than the one which is imported. And the problem still remains. The farmers will not be able to use. So it is important to look at low technologies which we can use to make this water-soluble phosphate more soluble for direct land application. Applying the phosphate rock direct also have some limitations because it depends on the reactivity, the solubility of the phosphate rock itself. If you go back to this rock, this map, you see that some of the phosphate rock deposits are in igneous in origin, and they are less reactive than the sedimentary ones. Again, the solubility depends on the soil pH. For phosphate rock direct application, the more acid the soil is, the more reactive it becomes, and for most of the crop production also, we don't need the acid soil. Even if the soil is acid, we need to lime it to reach a pH to near neutral or slightly acidic before it can be used. So the two don't usually go hand in hand. There are several studies that have been done on the direct application of phosphorus rock. Some of the previous studies use thermal heating the phosphorus rock to see if it can be made more soluble, or partial acidulation. The water-soluble phosphate, you have its sulfuric acid, or you have phosphoric acid being used to solubilize it, instead of using the right quantities, some researchers are reducing the amount of acid to be used so that they can reduce the costs. Or microbial dissolution, some microbes has also been incorporated into making the phosphate rock less or more soluble for plant uptake. Or amendment with manure and crop residue, or what you call compaction with water-soluble P. Actually, in IFDs, we have done a lot of work with compaction. Compaction is taking 50% of water-soluble P and then mixing it with 50% of the rock phosphate, and it makes it more soluble. There are several work which was actually done, or it has been led by Dr. Chen, who made a presentation here this morning, those who were here. He has done a lot of work with solubilization of phosphate rock using the compaction method, 1:1 water soluble P to 1:1 phosphate rock, mixing it up to make it more reactive. And he has found that over 80%, the relative agronomic effectiveness increases to over 80%. There are also some studies which are using organic acid like gluconic acid to make it more soluble. So, what is different from what we are doing now? Most of the work that was done previously, it was tested on soils which are near neutral or slightly acidic soils. Again, the ratio was 1:1. So we look at, in most of the sub-Saharan Africa, the soils are, the pH is above 7. So what happens if we use this compaction, the compacted phosphate rock on soils that are alkaline? Or what happens if we reduce the quantity of the water-soluble phosphate that we incorporate with the phosphate rock? Because the objective of this is to make the phosphate fertilizer less expensive for the smallholder farmer. So for this experiment, well, based on the previous work, two things really happen when we compact or we activate the rock phosphate with water-soluble P. The first activity is that because of the acidic nature of the water-soluble P, it enhances the dissolution of the rock phosphate. The second activity that happens is that because you have some little amount of readily available phosphates which have been added to the phosphate rock, the roots have immediate access to those water-soluble P. So it grows fast, and that action also helps in dissolving the rock phosphates for plant uptake. So based on that, we hypothesis that we can increase the agronomic effectiveness of rock phosphate irrespective of the crop type, soil pH, or the reactivity of the rock phosphate by compacting or activating it with some amount of water-soluble P. Our objective for this activity, overall objective, as I said from the beginning, is to improve the agronomic efficiency of unreactive phosphate rock for direct application in soils by smallholder farmers. The specific objective was to evaluate the effectiveness of phosphate rock on different soils, and also to quantify the agronomic effectiveness of activated phosphate rock using different crops on soils of different texture and pH levels. We used two phosphate rocks. One was the Idaho phosphate rock, which is unreactive. And then we used the North Florida phosphate rock, which is also very reactive. And by the activation method, we took 20% of water-soluble P and 80% of rock phosphate. We ground them, mixed them thoroughly, and then we granulated them. So we refer to it as 0.2 activated. That is 20% of water-soluble P. We use 7 treatments for this experiment. The rock phosphate which has not been used, Idaho and North Florida. I put this from you may be seeing NFL. It doesn't mean National Football League. It's North Florida Phosphate Rock. And then you have the activated Idaho, activated North Florida. And then we use DAP for the activation. So we use 100% DAP and then 20% Phosphate Rock. And of course, a control which contains nothing. This was a greenhouse experiment with the randomized complete block design with 4 replications per treatment. We use 3 soils of different texture and pH levels. The Hiwassee was a clay loam, have a pH level of 5.5. Bramfield soil, which is an alkaline in nature, but a sandy loam. And then a Samta soil, which is also alkaline, but this is a clay soil. We use 3 crops. In the winter, we use wheat, and in the spring, summer, we use rice and soybean, grow them to maturity. The P rate was 50 milligrams per kilogram of P, and then all the nutrients that the plant needed were added, and based on Chen's formula, we calculated relative agronomic effectiveness. These are some of the results that we saw. We see the rock phosphates, the raw ones which are here, then we have the activated ones, the DAP, the 20% DAP, and of course the control. As I said from the beginning, if you look at the rock phosphate alone, these are 3 soils. We have the Samta, the Brownfield, and the Hiwassee soil. So if you look at the Hiwassee soil, which is acidic in nature, you see that from the rock phosphate alone, you see an increase or significantly greater yields from the Hiwassee soil. But in the alkaline soils, you did not see anything which is comparable even to the control. Okay. You have the activated PRs. This is Idaho and North Florida. This is the raw rock phosphate, nothing added. This is 20% of the DAP. So in effect, a combination of this and either of this, if you combine the two, we are getting very high yields, which is comparable to 100% of the rock phosphate. If you look at the numbers, it's of the relative agronomic effectiveness, you have for the activated, even in both, in all the 3 soils with different pH levels and texture, you still see that the activation was consistent throughout the 3 soils. The same thing can be seen for wheat. Similar results of the agronomic effectiveness, and also for rice, also we see the same things with similar agronomic effectiveness. Right, so from this study, we have seen that a modest amount of water-soluble P compacted with rock phosphate is able to improve the agronomic effectiveness of even unreactive rock phosphate to as much as 85%, greater than 85% of the relative agronomic effectiveness. And with the little activation, we are able to improve P uptake efficiency. And I say this, as you know, this process compared to the production of water-soluble P, this process is highly energy efficient, environmental sound, and also it's a technology which can reduce the cost of fertilizer application for smallholder farmers. So it is one activity which we can pursue if we want to improve productivity in sub-Saharan Africa and, in fact, in most parts of the developing world. Thank you very much.